Bibles, that means I'm going to preach for a long time. I'm just teasing. God is great. All right, Father, we thank you. God, you are so good. You are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you, Father, that you, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is our exceedingly great reward. You are our reward. God, what a blessing that is. With Jesus Christ, the Father has given us everything. So we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are glorifying us so that, like the brother said, so that we could be salt and light in this world. So when people see us, the good works that we do, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. And they will see that there is a God in heaven and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Okay, last time I spoke, we talked about laughter. Because remember Abraham and Sarah? Sarah, when she heard that she was going to have a baby, because she was old. She was really old. Older than probably anybody in this room. Anyway, and she laughed because she was going to have a baby. And God promised. All God's promises are impossible. That's why we laugh. I remember when I became a Christian, I don't know if I laughed, but I was pretty happy because I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that God, the holy God, the God that I learned in the Catholic religion, that he would love me and save me because I was just nobody. And he did, and he loved me, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, and he kept all of his promises. But today I want to talk about something it will solve every problem in your life, but it won't, but it will. Okay, Genesis, I'm going to continue with Abraham. And then remember, Abraham heard the same story, and he laughed too. And that word, remember that word in the Hebrew was, it was a belly laugh. It was like, I mean, he was laughing. It wasn't just like hee hee or, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. He was belly laughing. So when God promises something, it's so ridiculous, it's hard to believe. Okay, so let's turn to Genesis. Now this is right after, remember Abraham went and he had the big battle and he delivered his lot and all that, and he got all the stuff, all the spoils. He didn't receive anything because he said, unless somebody think that somebody else is going to prosper me besides God and all that. So now he's going to talk to God. God came to him in a vision. It says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. He's not called Abraham yet. In a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield in thy exceedingly great reward. And that's what I want to talk about. The promise God made to Abraham, God's made tons of promises. But the promise that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and that was the promise he made to Abraham, and he made all kinds of other promises for Israel and all that. But what I want to talk about today is your reward. Your reward, or your life, is hid with Christ and God. So God is actually your reward. And people think that it's something else. For instance, if there's somebody that, let's say you were a woman or a man, doesn't matter, and you got married, but you married a person because they were rich so that they could take care of you so they would, you could get minks and jewelry and God could do whatever he does, gets. That would not really be, you're not really marrying that person because you love them and because there's, you know, God wanted you to or whatever. You're just marrying him because you want the stuff. Well, that's the same way with our walk with the Lord. And like Larry said, when you get older, you get to realize that there's very little you really need. God is my exceedingly great reward. All you need, I know it sounds ridiculous, but really all you need is Jesus. Jesus is in the Holy Spirit, God the Father, that is all you need. That's your exceedingly great reward. So Abraham, what's the next thing Abraham said? Verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. So he's already griping and complaining. And lo, one is born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And then, of course, we all know the story. We know that he got Isaac, and the story about later on when he had to take Isaac when he was 13 or around that age, had to take him, and he was going to sacrifice him, and the angel stopped him. Because Abraham had to learn something besides us. All of us learned the same thing, is that all the things that we love in this world, you have to give it to God. You have to give that thing, whatever you love, whatever God gave you, you give it back to God. And then you die to it and then let him resurrect if he does or not, which he does. But when you get Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God freely gives you all things. So our relationship with God is everything. So besides Jesus, I was just praying this morning, besides God, you don't need anything. Because with him, you get everything. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Most people think seeking the kingdom of God is going to church, reading your Bible, praying, doing all the things that a Christian does. Those are part of it, yes. But really seeking first the kingdom of God is getting to know Jesus. To know thee and the power of thy resurrection, the fellowship of thy suffering, and I love, and you don't even love your life even unto death, because you have everything. So right now, as you're sitting in your pew, you have everything you'll ever need, everything, because you have God. Amen. You don't need God plus something. Lately, I've been having a little bit of a. Normally, I don't ever get sick, but just the last couple of weeks, I've been. Not sick, I mean, where I can't function or anything like that, but just really, I had it. First it started here in my head. I don't know what it was, but it really hurt bad. It's like a sinus headache. Then it went down into my jaw. Then it went down into my neck. And it progressed down into my... But the good thing is when it moved, it left the other part. So my head felt great. My jaw hurt. And then my neck hurt. And now my shoulder hurts. So if it keeps going, man, my feet are going to be hurting here in a few weeks. Yeah, I'm just teasing. But with Jesus, you freely get all things. So your focus, your whole life, is actually Jesus. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Your whole life is actually God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's nothing else. As a matter of fact, in the book of Galatians, it says that God's given you a promise, the promise of the Spirit. Did you receive the promise of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By hearing of faith. He just gave it to you as a free gift. If God gives you his Son, Jesus Christ, he freely gives you all things. So what you need is Jesus. If you go for all things, then you'll lose. If you lose your life, then you'll gain it. If you gain your life, then you'll lose it. So all you got is Jesus. All you got is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have nothing else. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how if you're naturally a happy person or not or whatever. No, God is everything. He's your all in all. I remember I was driving down the road one day. This is when I was a young Christian. And I read a scripture in Hebrews 11. I wasn't reading it while I was driving, but I was... thinking of this scripture that if I remember correctly, I think it's Hebrews 11:6. It says, those that come to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I remember I was already a Christian. I was already baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was, you know, already spoke in tongues. I was doing everything, all the gifts and all that kind of stuff. But at that moment, I knew God was real. I don't know how I knew it. I was just driving down the road, and the presence of God filled the car, and I was just like, oh, God is real. We have a real, and ever since then, it's been like that every day. I know no one can convince me. No atheist, nothing that happens in this world can convince me that there's not a God. And that Jesus Christ is in His Son. And there's the Holy Spirit. And this Bible is all true from cover to cover. I can't be convinced otherwise. No matter what science comes out with, no matter what philosophy, no matter what circumstance or problem in my life or what happens with my kids or my wife or myself, anything, nothing can convince me. I am convinced. My heart is fixed. That means it cannot be changed. Now, if you torture me, I might change my mind. I don't know about that. I don't know. Probably not. But maybe I don't. No, I cannot be convinced at all. As a matter of fact, Leah, she knows that once I know I think something's in the Bible, whether it is or true or not, I cannot be convinced unless somebody can prove to me. We have this ongoing argument in our house, and I'm right and she's wrong. Because I studied it. I know she didn't. I got in the Bible, man, for 2 years. Was it 2 years, Leah, probably? And I studied it to the max. And I read a book, even. So she's wrong and I'm right. So I cannot be convinced, even by Leah. She's my beloved. She's the wife of my youth. But she cannot convince me. So you cannot convince me of anything. I don't care what you say or don't say. Pastor Jim can't convince me. No one convinced me of anything if it's not in the Bible. Or it's not something that God's... But other things that aren't that important or things that are, like the Bible talks about, all things are permissible, but not all things are expedient. In other words, we waste a lot of time. Most Christians, including us, are just vain. We just do vain, empty things that don't matter. But really, our life is absolutely, totally, like Barbara was saying, our lives are totally, totally, totally wrapped up in God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, there's tons of scriptures that talk about this. And then, you know, people will say in your family, not in my immediate family, but well, in my immediate family too, but mostly in my extended family, my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, my aunts, well, Danny, you just think Jesus is the answer to everything. But He is. He's my exceedingly great reward. He's your reward. When you get to heaven, He's your reward. It's not interesting that the heaven's going to be streets of gold and you're going to get eat this fruit and all that kind of stuff. Those aren't interesting things. The interesting thing is Jesus is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And when you see, when you have a hope, I was just reading the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians this morning. We have a hope in us. When Jesus comes back, we'll see Him and we'll be exactly like Him. All worry, all fear, all doubt, all the things that affect us in this life will not affect us anymore. We'll never cry again. We'll never have sorrow. We'll never sin again. Sin will be gone, and you'll be exactly like Jesus because you'll see Him as He is, and He's already made the promise. So it's already set in stone. You can't change it. When Jesus comes back, when you see Him, you'll be just like Him. And those who have their hope in that cleanses themselves. That means Jesus is doing a work in you now. He not only saved you because you needed to be saved, because none of you, the Bible's it says in Galatians that He locked up everybody in sin. But you don't know that except you read it in the Bible. Because I'm telling you, there's people in this world you think, well, they're pretty good. I remember I had a friend of mine that worked at the museum, the Amon Carter Museum. I was a security there for Robert Bass. And I had this friend, his name was Shan. He was the nicest guy I think I've ever met. This guy was nice. He was nice. His wife was, she was awful. I'm talking about natural here now. I'm not talking about, she was a sinner. He was good. But he was really nice. His name was, and me and him used to talk about the Lord all the time because he wasn't a Christian. He'd always ask me, what does secular mean? He didn't know anything. This guy didn't know. But he was a really nice guy. So if anybody was going to go to heaven on their good works, it was going to be him. His name was Shannon, actually. But what point was I going to make? Anyway, so sometimes you don't know anything except you have to believe it by faith. Because everything in the Bible is just by faith. The just shall live by faith. So I just read that and I say, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I believe that. So no one's good. And the Pope, the Dalai Lama wasn't a good person. As a matter of fact, he was evil. Everybody's evil. Only God is good. If God's the only one in the universe, the only one in the whole thing that's good, then that's it. So I'm going to derive all my goodness, everything I need comes from God. If he's the only one that's good, he's the only one that's good. I tell you, that sets you free. Otherwise, if you could be good, then you would, you're nervous about that. I was talking to my sister. My sister came to visit me from San Antonio. And she's kind of nervous. She loves the Lord. And we and her have great, every time she comes and visits, we have a great time. She came and spent a couple of nights with Lee and I, and we just talked about, the whole time we talked about the Lord. That's what I love about my sister. That's all she wants to talk about. But sometimes she's a little nervous about her life because, you know, she's afraid she didn't do everything right and whatever. I don't even ever think about that. I just assume that I did nothing right and that only God did, whatever God did is right. So, you know, I got to minister her and her husband, too. I went down to San Antonio, and her husband was a Christian for, like, got saved 35 years ago or something like that. Never read his Bible. Never. In all those years. I was talking to Kat, I go, what? He never read his Bible? Really? So, anyway, and I just assumed, I don't know why I do this all the time, but I just assumed that he was a good on fire for God. I mean, he is. I mean, he loves the Lord and everything, but I just figured he was just, you know, like us. So I'm just talking like normal. Me and my sister are talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus, and, you know, I was just preaching the gospel and telling them about, you know, all the things I've been learning. And anyway, he was just dumbfounded. I found out later, Catherine goes, oh, my gosh, you just totally changed his life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, really? But he's already... And he goes, no, he got saved 35 years ago or whatever. He's even a deacon in the Baptist church and everything. But he never read the Bible. I was like, what? I was shocked that a good Christian would not read his Bible. But really, this is our life. And it's not the dead letter, it's the spirit. It's the spirit that gives life. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So when I read my Bible, every time, I don't read it just to get something good or to get a nugget or to get, I just want to know Jesus. And so I talk to him all the time. While I'm reading, I'm praying and talking to Jesus out loud. I'm talking to him. I'm not just reading the Bible like studying it like it's a, separate from God or separate from who I am. It's actually who I am. So I'm reading this. It's like a letter. It's like a love letter to me. So I'm reading it that way. I'm not reading it like it's, I got to study this so I can get a sermon or I can get a message or I can do this or that. No, it's my life. My life is hid with Christ in God. So that's my life, my whole life. There's nothing else. I have a job. Because I have to, you know, the Bible says to have a job. I have a job by faith. The just shall live by faith. So if you don't have a job, get a job. The just shall live by faith. So I have that. not to have a career, not to be pop, not to be anything. I just do it to make money so I can survive, so I can, you know, bless my family and do whatever and give to the ministry and all that kind of things. That's the only reason why I have a job. I don't find my identity in it. I don't find my value in it. I don't find anything in it. I don't care what I did. I really didn't. I remember even when I wasn't a Christian, I didn't care what I did for a living. Didn't give a lick about it. And to my own discredit, I never cared about money. I just don't even think about it. I don't even want to know anything about it, which is bad. Don't do that. Because I did run into a few problems. But I just don't think about it. It's not that interesting to me to have stuff and to be anybody or be anything. The only thing I want to do is know Jesus. And that's your whole life. Your life is not your family, your marriage. Your life is not any of those things. You will never improve your life. I don't care how many books you read on self-improvement and all those things. You won't improve your life. You're already improved. Your life is saved. You're already the best you'll ever be because you're in Christ. He's in you. Amen. And if you're in Him and He's in you, then you're okay. You're blessed. So you might as well do two or three things, and you can pretty much, this will cause you to grow. If you're thankful every day, thank God for everything. I thank Him for everything. I thank Him for the liberals, the Democrats. I thank Him for my wife. I thank Him for everything, everything. I thank Him for all my problems. I thank Him for everything because everything's working together for my good. Everything. Everything. Not just some things, but you don't know that unless you read it. So you're living by faith. You're totally living by faith. You're not looking at it. If I looked at a circumstance and it was real negative, for instance, then I would think, well, that's not working together for my good. There must be something wrong. No, because the Bible says they are. Everything's working together for good. For those that love God, those are called according to His purpose. But that's a gift. People always look at the first part like there's a condition to it. There is a condition to it, but that was met by Jesus. Everything, all God's promises have conditions, but they're all met by Jesus, thank God, because I'm not perfect. And I would never do that. I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I love my neighbor as myself. That's because the Bible says that. It's not because I do it or I think it or I can actually do it. I can, but it's through Him. And all I have to do is die. And then that's all I got to do. Every day I got to come to God and I got to change my mind. This morning, I came here to the church and prayed and everything, but I had to totally change my mind. Because my shoulder hurt, you know, my nose was all stopped up, you know, I was driving, it was cloudy, it was kind of raining this morning or something, just wasn't good, but then I got, so you have to live by faith, because everything in the Bible is contrary to what's in the world, everything. But I'm never persuaded, don't ever be persuaded by what you see, think, or feel. Because those things always lie. Your feelings, it's a lie. What you think, it's a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every man lies. I do, you do, we all do. We lie to ourselves. We think the wrong thoughts. Because our soul is mind, will, and emotions. So our mind, our will, and our emotions are all liars. It's all the flesh. So I have to renew my mind. Think on what God thinks. So I'm renewing my mind. The Bible says, think on these things. Here's what you think on, Jesus. Whatever's good, whatever's true, whatever right, think on those things. Emotional, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always go for joy first. When I wake up in the morning, I always read Psalms. First thing I do is read Psalms. And it makes me happy. Because I remember the Lord. Praise the Lord, for He is good. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Man, God, that is amazing. You know, His mercy, it's everlasting. That means everything you did, thought, felt, anything, God forgives it, and he's merciful. He has loving kindness. So that's one way I know God. God is merciful. It's a good thing, right? Because I never was going to make it without him. Not even that day. I'm telling you, you need God we need the every hour, that song, that Baptist song. There's some good songs. That's a good song. Because we need God every single second of the day. I was looking at my brother Joe. He's from St. Louis. He's a geophysicist. He's actually a genius. But he put a thing on every once in a while, like maybe once a month or so, I'll look at Facebook. Leah's on Facebook, so I looked at it just to see what my family's doing. My brother posted something on it because he's a liberal. Back in the day when I got saved, I led him to the Lord, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Man, he was on fire for the Lord. And then he went to California. So, should not have done that. But, you know, he went to all these churches that were really crazy. So he got burned out, and then he started hating Christians, and now he doesn't like Christians and all this stuff. And anyway. But he put this post to sing. It says, "Can you be?" The book was titled, "Can You Be Codependent on God?" And I just thought that was funny. I thought, man, I'm way past being codependent. I am totally, 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 totally dependent on God. So laughter, like I talked about the last time I spoke, with laughter, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you want to have a healthy life, which we all do, but you can't look at it or be interested in it, you just got to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. Looking unto Jesus, when you behold him, you are from glory to glory to glory for Lord. Don't worry about his stuff. Everybody wants to rape Jesus or get all of his stuff from him, but they don't want Jesus. They just want the stuff. I remember when we were, in the prosperity message and all that, which is not bad. But it got so unfocused because everybody was focusing on the gift. Or they were focused on the what God can do for them. If I could just pay my tithe or give this 10% or give this or give that, and I'll get a hundredfold return. So they're doing it almost like an investment instead of loving Jesus or whatever. But the Bible says that's not right. Because Timothy says we can't love money. Especially if you're an elder or a pastor, you cannot love money. Or you're any kind of in the ministry, you cannot love money. Greed will eat your lunch. And there's a qualifications there which no one can meet. They're pretty strict. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's in Titus and it's in Timothy, the qualifications for an elder. I look at that sometimes, I just laugh. I'm going, oh my gosh. It's like, you got to be perfect. So anyway, but God, somehow God does it. If you behold him, I'm just telling you, it's true. If you don't know what that looks like, just do it, and it works. If you seek first the kingdom of God, if you behold Jesus, seek that first. Your relationship with God. Relationship is everything. Christianity is a relationship to Jesus, to God, to the Holy Spirit. It's that. That's it. I mean, boiled down to its most simple form, Christianity is just your relationship with Jesus. That's it. There's no, you can't add anything to it. It's not Jesus plus, you know, all this other stuff we want, you know. We want the world, we want all the, you know, some of us want all liberals to be killed and the Republicans to live, and some are the opposite. I mean, we want this perfect utopia kind of world, that, like Jehovah's Witnesses, but you're not going to get that. In this world, you have trouble, always time. I love it. I'm learning to really actually like it, kind of. I'm like, man, I got trouble. I really need God. I need thee every hour. So my troubles, I got some too. Say, I got troubles. I just can't think of them right now, but I have a lot. You know, there's health stuff, there's family problems, there's, you know, all of you have people in your life that aren't Christians and you're always in contention with them, and there's always everything, and then stuff that comes up every day. Like Paul said, then there's the care of the church, and then there's my job, and then there's my family, and then there's, you know, people that hate me because I'm a Christian, and there's people that, you know, and there's just overwhelming. It could be overwhelming, but it's not. I don't know why, because we live by faith. And then one day, it says in Psalms, one day you'll look to see the enemy, you'll look to see the unrighteous, and you won't see them. And you'll think, man, where'd they go? And this is during the millennium. But they won't be anymore. It'll be totally over. And that day's coming soon. So that's your hope. Your hope is that Jesus, everything he promised is true. I'm telling you, the promise is way better than you know. The promise is just not that he'll take care of you. He'll be your shield, and he'll protect you, and he'll prosper you, and all that kind of stuff. That's not the interesting part of the promise. The interesting part of the promise is he'll give you himself. He is your prosperity. He is your healing. He is your everything. He's your all in all. So he is the promise. Jesus is the promise. The promise is not that you'll be great and wonderful and awesome. The promise is we have Jesus, who is great, wonderful, and awesome. So he's the promise. He's the promised Messiah. He's the promise of eternal life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. I mean, there's just time. If you read the Bible carefully, you'll figure out that, oh my God, God is. I was just reading the book of Galatians this morning also, because I love that book. And it talks about that. You receive the promise of the Spirit. It's a promise. But that's God. The Holy Spirit is God, in case you don't know that. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We sang that song this morning, talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And those that bear, and the ones that bear witness on this earth is the Word of God, the water, the blood. Jesus died for our sins. I like that what Larry said about the testimony. Your testimony is awesome, and all of you have a great testimony. Everybody. If you know Jesus, you have a testimony. And your testimony, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, died, he did everything. Jesus does everything. The blood of the Lamb, that's your justification by faith. The word of your testimony, that's what God's doing in your life right now. Nobody can say, nah, he's not doing that. They can't. How could they say that? They don't know. So when Barbara or Joyce, they give their testimony, then, man, it's powerful. Because, man, the other day I was doing this, and God, oh, man, then Jesus, and he did this, and, you know, and then that's a testimony. And you have a testimony, and you love your life even unto death. So God not only started a work in you, he will finish it. Let me read something. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to use my other Bible. Okay, that's my first Bible, and I got to get my second Bible. No, I'm just teasing. I'm not going to do that. I'm almost done. But I just wanted everybody to really know today how awesome it is to know Jesus and to know that he is the promise, that God is your exceedingly great reward, not something else. You know that scripture says add to your faith. It really means fill out your faith. And it lists all these virtues, you know, virtue, and it lists knowledge to knowledge, self-control, faithfulness. And, you know, then it gets all the way down to brotherly love and then love. So the last thing is love. That's what God's doing in your life. He's perfecting you in love. Every day he's showing you stuff. Every day that's why when you're a son, if you're a child of God, you will be chastened. That's one of the signs of being a Christian. You'll be chastened. Not the world. God's not chastening the world right now. He's chastening the church. As a matter of fact, That's why we have time. God's given us a little reprieve here, so we have a little bit of time. I don't know how much time, but we can still get our lamps full of oil. We can still prepare ourselves for the Lord to come back. That's why I told my wife, I said, man, this is what we're going to do. I go, God's given us some time. Man, maybe we can do something. Maybe we'll be able to do whatever God's told us to do. And we will, because he told us to do it. So he'll provide. He'll do everything. If God tells you to do something, then let him provide it. I know it sounds awful, but do it. If God tells you to do something, a ministry, a job, or whatever, then let him provide. Don't worry about it. Say, thank you, Jesus, and then he'll provide. But if you strive and worry about it and try to make it happen, then it's gonna be awful. I'm telling you, it'll be bad. Because all you can do is sin, and all he can do is not sin. So I'm going to go with Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. If he's the author and the finisher of my faith, then I'm not the author and finisher of my faith. So every day I got to die to myself, just trust in the Lord, come before his presence every day. Even if you don't feel like it, sometimes I have to do stuff, I just do it. Like, you know, God wanted Lee and I to start doing some things together, praying and stuff. And I told Lee, I go, even if it's boring, even if it sounds stupid, let's just do it. God said to do it, let's do it. Let's just do it by faith. Who cares if we feel like it or we have a feeling or something like that? I don't care about that. It says in the Bible that we should pray and not faint. You should pray always. Always pray and not faint. So if you feel like fainting, pray, and you won't faint. Okay, that's just a little advice. Okay, so what was I reading? Oh, yeah, 1 Thessalonians. This is the end of the chapter. I love reading the beginning and end of the chapters because they're so full of. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the last chapter, chapter 5. It has to be chapter 5 because there's no more chapters. Okay, verse 16, it says, everybody's familiar with this. I just read it this morning, so it's familiar to me right now. It says, rejoice always. I'm reading out of they call it King James 3, but it's actually the linear Bible. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Keep back from every form of evil. Every form. By the way, you don't know what every form of evil is. God does. So I don't even know what that... See, when you read the Bible, you just got to ask Jesus. Even if it sounds like rejoice always, what does that mean? So you're actually asking it. It's not common sense. I know it's common sense. But you have to always talk to Jesus about it. That's the whole point of being a Christian is your relationship with Jesus. You talk to him all the time. When I'm driving down the road, Jesus, I love you. God, you're so good. I can't believe you saved me. I can't believe it. You're just so good. I love you so much. I don't even deserve it, but you love me so much. That's the way I talk. You have to talk like the Bible talk like heaven. I don't do it all the time in front of people because I think they think I was crazy. But I do when I'm by myself. Instead of wasting time, which I do waste a lot of time. I'm not saying I don't. I do waste a lot of time. But I'm learning that, man, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But I can't do that. I told Lord, I am so undisciplined. Lord, forgive me. You discipline me. I can't, and I pray, but I ask him. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ask Jesus because I want him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let Jesus do it. If he wants me to be disciplined, then he's going to have to do it because I am so undisciplined. I've always been that way. I just live on a wing and a prayer. That's how I live. I've always lived that way, and it's been bad. It always hasn't turned out good. Right, Larry? It hasn't always turned out good, but that's just the way I live. But I know it's not right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the way I live. and I don't pay attention sometimes to stuff. And me and Lee always get the biggest laughs out of our life. The other day, I forgot what we were talking about, but we were just laughing how, kind of like Abraham and Sarah, because it's just because God is so good and we are so ridiculous and he is so awesome. But if you look at life, I tell you, if you look at yourself that way and look at God that way, then you will be happy. I'm happy all the time, because not because my circumstances are great or because I'm a happy person or whatever, just because God is so funny. He cracks me up because he uses me, he loves me, he's still doing a work in me, and I just can't believe it. I just am amazed. And every day, literally every day, I go over the gospel, every morning. First of all, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm no good. But then Jesus saves me. And I remember the justification by faith. You know, Martin Luther, the whole thing. Justification by faith. Jesus is my righteousness. I have no other righteousness apart from him. None. Not even none. You have to realize that. When you get to know that, you're like, wow, that is awesome. Because he has a perfect righteousness. You have no righteousness. You are unrighteous. He is righteous. Phew. Man, it blesses me. I'm like, man, I qualify for that. So I get that. Then I remember how he forgives me, loves me. I go to the blood. I go right to the cross. Man, thank you, Jesus. Then I remember that he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Not so I could pray in tongues and do a bunch of stuff, but so that I can be sanctified. I do that too, but I can be sanctified. Baptized with fire so that I'm dead and he's alive. So I'm dying every day. Amen. So I'm going through this every day, every day. And you ought to too. The Bible, the gospel is something that's lived, not talked about, like the brother was saying, testimony, but also in your daily walk privately with the Lord, you're walking out the gospel day by day. It's to be lived. I'm telling you, it's not just something you say, it's something you do say, but you actually live it every day. So every day I'm living the gospel over and over and over and over every day. Why? Because I forget. I would soon forget and I would be, oh yeah. Have you ever done that? You were supposed to do something and then a couple days later you just remembered it. Oh no, man, I forgot. I should have did that 2 days ago. I do that all the time because that's the way I live. Oh my God, I should have paid that bill a month ago. I've forgotten. I got this. Or whatever the thing is, you forget. But same thing with the Word. If you don't read it, if you don't stay in tune with it or stay reading it and just devouring it and praying every day, then you forget. Why do I need to know that again? I know people gripe and complain a lot about, you know, preachers and stuff because they say the same thing over and over and over again. But that's too bad. There's a reason why they do that. It's because you need it every day. And if you don't read your Bible all week, then you're only getting it once a week. So that's all you know. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry. Let me finish reading. I'll be done. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Remember the 8 steps of prayer, thankfulness, praise and worship. You always thank, Psalms 100. You thank, you praise, and you tell Jesus you love him. You worship him. He is worthy to be praised. I love you, Jesus. Okay, do not quench the spirit. Okay, keep back from every form of evil. And may the God of peace himself fully sanctify you. That's God's job, not your job. Your job is not to sanctify yourself. That's God's job. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, which is Jesus. Jesus calls. Everybody say, I'm called.
I'm called.
By God.
By God.
So everybody's called. There's not one person not. If you're a Christian, you love Jesus, you are called. There's callings in your life. Your first calling in your whole life is to get saved. That's a calling. So you're called to be a Christian, then you're called to be sanctified. You're called to grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a calling. everybody, it's all common to all men. If you're a Christian, you're called to that. You can't say, well, I'm not called. Yes, you are. You are called. And then you're called into some sort of ministry, no matter how insignificant you think you are, it is, it doesn't matter. God, where you get all, and please know this, because most people, especially Christians, get all their dignity, they get all their value, they get all their worth in what they do. But that's up and down. So one minute you feel important, you feel valuable, you feel like you're doing something, but then the next minute, if you're not doing it perfect or you mess up or something, then you have no dignity, no value, no worth. So you get depressed. You get anxious. You get fearful. But that doesn't even matter to me or to God. You get all your dignity, all your value, and all your worth from God. It's a gift. It's just a gift. He created you to be His. Everybody in the whole world is created to be God's. As a matter of fact, God owns, the Bible says this, He owns everybody, every soul of man is owned by God. And that's what gives them dignity, value, and worth. Everybody. I was driving to church today. I see those guys on the road all the time. Sometimes I give them money. Sometimes I don't. But I gave, there was a guy on the corner. You know how they have those signs, please help me, you know, for whatever reason. But anyway, that person, and when I talk to them as if respect them. I respect everybody because everybody is made in the image of God. Everybody. I don't care what they look like, what they think like, if they're liberals or if they're whatever. I don't care what they are. They're Muslims or not Muslim or they're Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't care. Everybody. As a matter of fact, when the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons come to my house, I always treat them with respect. And I talk to them, and I tell them the gospel. Amen. And whether they accept it or not, and Leah is really good at it. She does not put up with nothing. Every time I want to get something done on the phone, I always give the phone to Leah. Like if there's a bill problem or they overcharged us. You know, Leah gets after him, and then it gets done. She goes, yeah. I remember it was so funny. This is a good story. We lived in Sulphur Springs, we got bad reception. We had AT&T, we had bad reception. So my phone didn't always work, but it didn't matter anyway because I was on the farm anyway, and if you want to talk to me, you just, everybody I knew lived there at the farm. Anyway, I was a ranch hand out there. But anyway, well, I managed the property. But anyway, so our phone wouldn't work, so every month, there is Leah. I mean, literally every month. Leah was on. We get our bill. Leah would call AT&T, and sometimes we wouldn't even have to pay. Sometimes she would get half knocked off, or 25%, or whatever it was. I was like, man, she was amazing. She probably saved us thousands of dollars just by being, you know, naggy. Not naggy. No, I'm just kidding. She's not naggy. But me, I'm too nice. I'd end up paying more, probably. It's not good. That means I'm a man pleaser. Leah is not a man pleaser. Okay. So anyway, he who calls you is faithful who will perform it. God's going to perform. God is the only performer. You've heard Jim say it, but it's true because it's in the Bible. God's the only performer. It seems like if you read the Bible as if, but you have to always interpret, like when I read the Old Testament, that's why I started reading about Abraham, because I was reading the book of Galatians, and it talks a lot about Abraham in Galatians. So then I have to go back and find out about the guy, what he's up to. Even though I know the story and I read it 100 times, I still want to find out what's going on with this guy. Because it must be important if it's mentioned in the New Testament especially. It must be important. So I'm going to read about Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and all this stuff, Hagar and all this stuff that went on. That's how you get. That's how you read the Bible. You read it in a way. The Bible interprets the Bible, the whole thing. You got to know the whole thing. You can't just know little parts in here. I tell you, people get crazy about stuff. Then you don't understand what God's doing, how he works, how he operates, you or him, because you're growing in the grace, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you need grace? Because grace has mercy, has power. So if you have power, if you have mercy, then you can get the power. But if you don't have mercy, you have no power. You can't skip anything. You can't skip anything. When you go through the gospel in the morning, you can't skip the blood. Sorry. There's blood. Jesus died on the cross. There's blood. You can't die on a cross and not be bloody. There's blood. Blood, 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 blood. You can't skip that. You can't skip the fact that you're a sinner. I don't ever skip that. But I don't stop there either. Okay, I'm a sinner, God. No, I've sinned. I've fallen short. But the blood. Remember the blood. So he has to remember the blood. And he does. He remembers the blood. And then I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have joy of the Lord as my strength. You know, and then I have power. Because grace always has mercy and it always has power. That's two parts. Mercy and power. So I need grace. That's why I grow in grace, so I have power. Now I'm not only saved, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that gives me hope. Man, that's good. That's good news. So the whole thing's good news. He saves me. He sanctifies me. He's empowering me to do whatever I need to do. He's doing it. But I'm just doing the little things. Be faithful in little things, and then God will give you more. The little thing. Just go over the gospel every day. Do the first things first. Don't skip over and go right to ministry or go right to loving your neighbor or something. Don't skip God. I'm telling you, people do it all the time. Really the crux of the matter of this message is don't skip God. He's your exceedingly great reward. He will do everything. You can't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I mean, you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God. Do that, then you'll get the neighbor. The neighbor is not even the hard part. Loving your neighbor. You think it is. The easy part is loving your neighbor. Once you love God and you're totally in love with Jesus, then the neighbor is easy. Because then you don't care. You're not trying to use them or to get what you want or all that, because you already have everything. Once you got God, all your needs are met. I'm telling you. You don't need to be married. You don't need anything. You think you do. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to be. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you don't need anything when you have God. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need anything. I have no wants, no desires apart from him. I don't need to go on vacation. People are always wanting to, you know, Leah's mom's always trying to give me pills. You take this. You take that. I'm like, no, I don't need that. People think you need something, but really all you need Jesus, and God will give you everything else. I'm telling you, it works. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God is your exceedingly great reward. He's the reward. He's the promise. He's everything. So don't look for stuff to make you happy, because you can lose stuff. Remember the guy, the rich guy, he stored up all these barns and had all this stuff, then he died. And then he went to hell. I mean, stuff is not that interesting. It's really not. I work for the richest people, maybe in Texas, I don't know, the Basses. They were not happy people. They had billions. They were not happy. The Rainwater, the guy that made all the money for him, he was not a happy camper. They were all getting divorces, and they were unhappy, and, you know, it just, you know. So money is not going to make you happy. Stuff will not make you happy. Only God is good, and he's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can't beat that. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I don't know anything that can top that. No vacation, no house, no marriage, no person, no career, nothing can top that. But the only thing, there's only one thing about that is you have to die to all that other stuff, which is hard to, it's not easy, it's not, you can't do it. Only God can do it. You can't just come to God every day and just, well, I'm going to die to myself today. God, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that. So don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Don't try to figure out what your sin is. It's a waste of time because you'll never figure it out. Only God knows that. Just get in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, then he'll sort it all out. I don't know how he does it. But he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to cleanse us also. Not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he does. And then he does all the power thing. He does the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He does everything. So everything is wrapped up in that guy. And then one, it says in 1 John, then I'm done. I promise. In 1 John it says, we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That's, and then it talks about having fellowship with other Christians. It's the fellowship with the Son and the Father that's the interesting thing, and the Holy Spirit. That's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is not having fellowship with one another. But we do have fellowship with one another. Why? Because of God. His fellowship means that I can have fellowship with Joyce because she has Jesus too. So we're having fellowship in the Spirit, not so much in our flesh. I don't want to know her after the flesh because who cares about her flesh? Who cares about my flesh? I just want to know what God's doing. And she gives her testimony, whatever, and it encourages me, and then I get, you know, then all that good stuff happens. That's fellowship is not us all going to a movie or us all going out and having pancakes together. Although that could be. But I'm just saying, but our fellowship is with one another, is with God, and then it's with one another through Jesus. And that's good. That's how my sister and I are. All right, let's pray and then I'm done. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you were Abraham's exceedingly great reward, his shield in his exceedingly great reward. That means you are his all in all. And I thank you that that's the same way you are with us, God. You are our reward. That means that's like a benefit. That's like a payment that you made for free. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to work it out. We didn't have to do anything. We just believe. We believe that that's true, God, that you are exceedingly great reward. We thank you for Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all the gifts, tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, all those things, healing, all the things that you do for us. But really, that's not, it's just because it's you. You are good. So teach us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God, your kingdom, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then you will add all that stuff will be just added to us. We won't even think about it. It'll just be added because we've got our eyes focused on the one who is the giver of life, and that's Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. That was good.